Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the Accident Recovery Team Traffic Center, don't worry about me, I called ART.
Traffic. It's a little slow on I-235 South heading onto K-96 East. Allow a few extra minutes there. From the Accident Recovery Team Traffic Center, that's your Odyssey Wichita traffic.
Weather. Good morning. A mostly cloudy start to our Monday. We'll turn mostly sunny, also breezy. Northwest winds 10 to 20 and gusty. All of that in a high of 75. Clouds return tonight. North winds and 45 is the low. Decreasing clouds but cool on Tuesday. High 66. We'll keep it in the 60s on Wednesday. Small chance of rain showing up on Thursday. That's your forecast from Storm Team 12. I'm meteorologist Jake Dunn.
This is an Odyssey Sports Minute.
The standoff between the 49ers and Brandon Ayuk isn't ending anytime soon. The Niners want something in return for him. I figured after the NFL draft they'd relent and let him go. It was the opposite. John Lynch says they're still taking calls. This feels like it could be the crumbling of the Niners. Not that they need to bend the knee to a disgruntled player, but holding a player hostage doesn't do a whole lot of good. It doesn't help winning. It just feels petty of Dende.
It's time to get back to the sports talk.
All right, let's do this thing. Go!
Sports Daily is on KFH.
Welcome back in, everybody. Sports Daily. Who's excited about the draft? Now, we have to wait a long time for this thing to come back around, Paul. Does that make you sad at all?
Well, we've got a lot of football in front of us, and, you know, believe it or not, we'll be talking football on a good portion of the show before too long. I mean, look, we're almost to May, June, July. I mean, you get started in this stuff at least in
summer things.
Sure.
You'll see these rookies.
Oh, yeah.
We are now, though, like post-draft. I don't know how fired up people get for, you know, the summer workouts. It's become... I'm probably a little less exciting for the Chiefs because everything has been so much the same from year to year. At least as far as like storylines, you know, if the Chiefs can make it through this without any offseason, I mean, off the field issues, that would be nice.
Oh, but, sweet.
And they had some right before the draft, of course. This is the slow time now of the football schedule right now for the next 2 months, probably, till you get to training camp. So that part does make me sad sometimes, but I love the draft so much, and we have a lot to discuss here with the Chiefs over the next little while as we discuss their draft. So we talked the last time we talked, Paul. We went through Mansoor Delane,
right,
and Peter Woods. That was, as you look more back, you know, after it happens. We talked about this Friday. It's like, okay, like they clearly loved this player. They were aggressive in getting him. They've evaluated corners very well over the years. Okay. I think initially for me, it was like, but they're so good at finding corners later in drafts that they can use. And I think that rubbed the shine a little bit. But it became pretty clear that he wasn't going to fall past both New Orleans and Washington. They made the move they needed to make to go get the player they love the most. So now, though, now that you see the totality of the draft, they get a defensive lineman. They go very defensive heavy, Paul. Their first four picks on defensive players. And then they go back at the end and, you know, they add some depth pieces. Emmett Johnson's an interesting player for Nebraska. I think people probably know who he is, but he's a workhorse, gives him some depth back there. You kind of like that. And then, you know, Cyrus Allen, I'm not sure if he has staying power. We'll see. But Garrett Nussmeier, Paul, you like the pick. Hell, I don't even know if he'll make the roster.
Well,
got Justin Fields on the team now.
Yep.
Maybe he's a practice squad guy. As far as he goes, if you're a seventh round pick, you'd probably just as soon not get drafted as a quarterback and pick your spot. Mm-hmm. That's a pretty good spot to go with Mahomes. And the Chiefs constantly looking for backup quarterbacks. Justin Fields isn't the long-term answer at backup quarterback. So that was pretty interesting. But it's all about those defensive picks. We said it all offseason long, Paul. The Chiefs are going to have to attack defense because they're losing so much on the defense over the years. And we're not convinced that in recent years, some of the resources they've spent on that side of the ball are going to pan out and turn into really good players. You know, they've identified a lot of offensive players that they get maybe a little later that end up being really good players. But outside of corner, it's been a little tougher, most specifically along that defensive line, to find guys that, you know, will stick and be him high impact players. Well, they take two of them in the top 40 picks that they, you know, they need to see something out of. Everybody on the planet loves Peter Woods, as you read about it. We told you Friday, like, people were calling him one of the best players coming into this draft. Our Mason Thomas is interesting. I'll tell you that Pete Prisco, I think people know who Pete Prisco is, called him his best player on the, I forget, what does he call it? He calls his guys that aren't the headliners better than team. I don't know if you ever read his draft coverage. His better than team. This guy was the captain of that. Basically, better than where he'll be drafted. And so he likes him. I haven't seen anybody that doesn't like him. Obviously, he goes to Oklahoma. He's going to be a high pedigree guy. He had the nickname of the closer, which meant he was big in big spots for them. So they spend a ton of resources on the defense. They get another corner out of it, too. He was the fourth, Jaden Canaday, Oregon, the corner. But here's the reality, Paul. They had a plan, and I think they executed it. Warren Sharp, you know, Warren Sharp, he does all kinds of football data and analytics. He had a chart and some way to, you know, put it together as far as draft capital and, like, gave it, like, a numbering system. The Chiefs spent the most draft capital on defense, according to his data, in this draft. And that's what they needed to do, I think. You know, there were some offensive opportunities. They could have drafted a receiver. They could have done all of those things. But the reality is, to be competitive next year, Paul, it needed to be defense. They need three guys to be able to be starters on this defense to, you know, to sort of make up from it. And I think they have a pretty good opportunity to do that.
Yeah. And I'm with you also that the first half of this draft was exactly what the Chiefs needed. And I haven't talked to anybody in my circles about this that have said, gosh, I just think they went a little heavy on defense. How about grabbing maybe an offensive lineman or, I mean, something, you know, get something on the offense? No, I've not had anybody. Everybody's with you, Jacob. I guess I should say everybody's with you and me, because I also believe that all the picks were supposed to be where they were. Now, my one question, of course, is our Mason Thomas. You know, and there's always that question mark in the back of your mind. Is this the right pass rush guy? Is this the guy that's for real? Because stats-wise, I mean, he's up there, and I think he had, what, a total of 14, maybe it was eight or 14. I had the number. I've seen so many stats.
I'm over 2 years, maybe 14.
Maybe it was 2 years. But anyway, and does it seem like a lot? Well, no, but he's a pressure guy, and we'll just see. That's always a tough place. Defensive end, rush edge. That kind of guy is always hard to judge. Always hard to know coming out of a draft, is this the guy? Is this Lawrence Taylor? Is this somebody like that? Now, granted, Lawrence Taylor was exceptional, and he was exceptional in college as well. You could almost tell with that guy, but that's just the example I'm giving. But I thought that the first day of picks were pretty darn good, and Jaden Canaday out of Oregon I thought was a good pick. I mean, we're talking about, you know, the middle of the fourth round. That's not a bad pick for safety. And just, I think it was on Friday, it was either Thursday or Friday, we talked about the importance of a safety. How corners get the headlines, right? Corners get all the publicity. What rated corner is going to go where? Who's going to take this rated corner? He's the best. He's second best on the board, this corner. But you and I talked, I believe it was on Friday, about just how important safety is. Safety's darned important. Safety save a lot of touchdowns.
We'll get to that later when we talk about picks we really like.
Okay. All right. Fair enough.
Yeah. Like, I, I don't know if our Mason Thomas is going to be able to come into the NFL and have a great sack total.
Don't know.
I'll tell you, you know, it's really for me, and the reason I'm starting to really like this draft. Again, caveat, asterisk to every draft ever. We overthink the draft, right?
Yeah, we do.
We look, because it's so much fun, into the strategy. And the reality is, at least for me, I, we get to this point after the draft, and or we're looking back in history, and I think, boy, if a team comes away with three starters for 5-6 years on their team out of any one particular draft, they had a pretty damn good draft.
Yeah, that's so true. Yeah.
That's the positions and all of that. We get very caught up in the moment of it. But the reality is, you're just trying to acquire the most best players. And so as I look back at their draft now, there feels like a very high likelihood that Mansoor Delane is at least a starter for this team for a long time. What's his ceiling? Is his ceiling as good as Trent McDuffie? All of those things. We'll find out. But everybody's favorite corner in the draft is probably at least going to be a serviceable starter at minimum in this league for a while, right? So
right.
There's one. I mean, and he's going to be a starter next year. He doesn't have a choice. Like, he's going to be a starter.
No choice. So, I like that.
So that part of it's like, okay, you know, they didn't reach on anything. They could have taken receiver and gone that road, but that doesn't give them the best chance in 2026. It's going to be a problem probably in 2027. We'll see what Xavier Worthy does this year. But again, I can't imagine a scenario where Rashi Rice is a receiver on this team in 2027. He'll be too expensive. He's got the off-the-field stuff. Very good player. But they're okay with running the receiving room back this year. I am too. Peter Woods is the guy, Paul, for me. And you brought up R. Mason Thomas. R. Mason Thomas has a great chance. I think those edge rushers, Paul, you got to just like, it's not always the college production as much as it is the pedigree, right? Like, the measurables feel. That's why I said it's hard to get them. Like, the measurables on those guys feel as important as any position. How much can their ankles bend? Like, all that weird stuff. Like, that's one of the more physically translatable positions, I think, that there is. So we'll see. It's the Peter Woods pick that is making me really like this draft as a whole. Because if you, like, the more you read up, the more you look into it, the physical traits he has remind you of, man, Chris Jones is just so physically imposing. Peter Woods has that kind of size. But, like, to go back to this time last year, as everybody's looking ahead and too early, you know, 2026 draft prospects and all that, he's on everybody's list. Everybody loved this guy. And he wasn't not productive at Clemson. He just wasn't as productive. And he plays a position maybe that pushes you down a little bit. But you go back, you see the tape, you know, like, oh, look, people are showing him not only create a ton of pressure up the middle, but from time to time, he did line up outside. Mm-hmm. It gives the Chiefs line depth. Now they're going to be probably 7 or 8 deep along the defensive line, Paul, and that's worked really well.
Right.
For, you know, that's a trend now. We know the league loves to follow trends. Like, it's a copycat league. That's the trend right now. Seattle had one of the better defensive lines in all of football last year. And if you went and asked football fans, not just, you know, people that you asked football fans, how many Seattle Seahawks defensive linemen can you name me? It ain't going to be very many for most people, because it was a lot of different guys and they just were a great collection of players. And so I think the Chiefs are going after a little bit of that. But if you go and you think about the pressure that could, in theory, come up the middle for the Chiefs in Woods and Jones, man, that's going to make it tricky for quarterbacks.
Yeah, you
that's
like going that.
To make. That's going to make George Karloftis and whoever's starting on the other side get a lot of opportunities for sacks as those quarterbacks have to bail.
Yeah.
That's going to let Steve Spagnuolo, corner blitz his new prize rookie and try to pick up sacks that way.
Right.
So, you know, are they going to have a defensive end that comes in and has 16, 17 sacks this year? I doubt it. Are they going to be as deficient in rushing the passer collectively as they have been the last few years? that's where I like this draft. They attacked pass rush, even though they couldn't get the defensive end and the corner that they loved. They went corner. They found other ways to perhaps create that pass pressure. That's why I like it, I think, as a whole. You know, I don't think I'm giving it like some kind of A plus or something. And I don't do a lot of that anyway, but I'm satisfied with the draft. I'm happier with this draft than I was last year. I'll tell you that. This is probably the draft I feel the best about since 2022. I think.
Okay.
I wasn't totally sold on the Worthy pick. I mean, I like that he's fast, but you know, he's got to still show us a lot.
Yeah.
But this has a chance to be a real safe, comfy retool, rebuild draft, which more than anything else, the Chiefs needed to do. They had to rebuild the defense. Can you imagine, Paul, where this team that was 6-10 last year because of Mahomes' injury, but fell short, you know, offensively for a while? Imagine where these Chiefs teams would have been if they didn't boast one of the league's best defenses each of the last 3 years.
Right, right.
And they needed to retool that for sure.
Yeah. And let me tell you where you have really, really kind of opened my eyes to this draft pick at number first round 29th pick with Peter Woods out of Clemson. And one of the things that I'll say about him, you know, sometimes interior linemen, you know, it's rough being an interior lineman. Why is that? Jacob, what is the one position that is the easiest on the football field? It doesn't matter what position it is. What is the easiest position to double team? What would be an interior?
Chris Jones.
It would be an interior defensive lineman. That's the easiest place to double team. And anytime you have a guy like Peter Woods, do you not think he's getting schemed a little bit? You don't think that teams will scheme him? He's good enough to warrant being schemed, and I think that is the case. And so, you know, I have come around to this pick. You have made sense to me a little bit. For once, that for once was uncalled for. I apologize for that. But you've made sense to me on this pick. I kind of poo-pooed it a little on Thursday. I thought, But I'll tell you what, as the weekend has gone through, I'm thinking to myself, you know something? Jacob is right on a couple of these things with regards to Peter Woods. I've got to give this new thought fresh. I got to give it fresh eyes to look at it in a picture of totality. I needed to do that, and you made me do that.
Well, we needed to see the rest of the draft. There's no question about that. And look, I'm not trying to tell you that I'm evaluating Peter Woods. I'm not evaluating. I'm just trying to evaluate where the Chiefs were headed with this. I've learned more about Peter Woods well after he was drafted, Paul, because I don't do that anymore. I don't scout all these players. But what I can tell you is the people that I follow that do really like that player.
Yeah.
And so it's like, okay, I follow them for a reason. I kind of trust their evaluations. They really like the player. Okay. And they really like the player.
Yeah.
I'm just beginning to understand, and we see it through the rest of the draft, why the Chiefs might make that with a first round pick when they had, you know, defensive tackle, Paul, as we were looking at draft needs, wasn't in the top four. And they make that pick and you're like, huh, boy, they could have taken a wide receiver there, which we know they need pretty badly. They still at that point hadn't taken an edge rusher, which we know they need desperately. An offensive lineman has always been on the board, but they didn't take one in the entire draft. Tells you they feel pretty good about what they've got, which I'm comfortable with. You know, we all are. They just kind of put a lot of smoke in the air on that one. So you go through those things of perceived needs and you're like, defensive tackle. Okay. Some people did think that was a need. I didn't think it was as much of one because they drafted Omar Norman Lott last year and you kind of still hope he's relevant, but I think they will. I think they'll rotate these guys in. It'll be good for Chris Jones.
Right.
But you get in and you're like, okay, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Then you start to see people's evaluations of the player. Mm. And I have always been a proponent of throw needs out the window and take the best players that you can take for the most part. And I think that's clearly what the Chiefs did early in this draft. They just went and they took their best players. And I'm happy with that. Now, you got to get your evaluations right, but they obviously thought Mansoor Delane was the best player at that point. They traded a third-round pick to move up three spots, and that third-round pick was a high third-round pick. Mm-hmm. 74, I think it was. Like, that's a big-time pick.
Sure.
Is that right? 74, is that? Yeah, 74.
That's a starter. That should be a starter, no question. Absolutely.
So, it's okay. They clearly like that player. It's Spags evaluating a corner. Mm-hmm. We'll trust that.
Right.
We'll trust that one. And then they just continued to do that. And then they got our Mason Thomas. So they got their edge rusher a little bit later. But, like, are we going to dissect the difference in our Mason Thomas and Falk out of Auburn?
I don't know. No.
So you got to trust it. But I think they got two players early on that everybody loves. And I think they attacked the defense in general. So I like the Chiefs draft. What do you think? 869-1240. Let us know. What about the rest of the draft? Who else did a nice job? Who else do we think helped themselves be a contender next year? We'll talk about that on the other side.
Sports Radio KFH.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mystery Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops. And neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.